In the name of Jesus, whose glory was revealed on the mountain to fellow redeemed. Have you ever climbed a high place and got just a breathtaking view of the scenery around you? Maybe you climbed the south rim of the Grand Canyon, or rode the elevator up to the Empire State Building, or climbed the fire tower out of High Cliff State Park, and the view when you got to the top was spectacular. When I was in college, some buddies of mine and I took a road trip to Kansas City, Missouri. And while we were there, we somehow found our way out onto the roof of the Crown Plaza Hotel. It's like 28 stories high. And I don't mean we just looked out the window. We crawled on our bellies to the edge of the hotel and looked down at the city below. The view was breathtaking. I mean, literally, it was scary. I haven't forgotten that view. It's made an impression on me to this day. Today, in our text, we meet three men who also received a spectacular view, more spectacular than one from Crown Plaza Hotel, even. Today, we meet three men who, on the Mount of Transfiguration, received what we might call a glimpse of glory. And the glory that they saw in the face of Christ served two purposes for them and us. First, it affirmed Christ's identity. And secondly, it prepares us for our future. Now, it's important to recognize when in Jesus' life the Mount of Transfiguration happened. It was actually in the last third of that three-year time span of his earthly ministry. Whereas at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, his popularity was very high, by this time, the opposition to Jesus has really started to grow. In fact, in the verses immediately before our text, Jesus tells his disciples, for the very first time, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. In other words, Jesus was beginning to point his disciples to what lay ahead for him. Unfortunately, his disciples really didn't want to hear anything about that. They didn't want to believe it. In fact, it's Peter who pulls Jesus aside and says, "Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But not only did Peter not realize that it was going to happen to Jesus, he also didn't realize that some of the same things were going to happen to him. Jesus tells his disciples what it would mean to be one of his followers. He tells them, if anyone would come after me, in other words, be one of my disciples, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life for me will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. In other words, Jesus is saying that being one of his disciples isn't going to be easy. You notice Jesus doesn't say, take up your pillow and follow me. It's take up your cross. Crosses are heavy. They're rough. He's saying, you want to be one of my disciples, you're going to make sacrifices, including maybe even the ultimate sacrifice. Tradition tells us that all but one of Jesus' disciples died as a martyr for the faith. The question is, how would Jesus prepare his disciples for what was in their future and his as well? He prepares them by bringing them up onto the mountain and giving him a glimpse of his glory. He takes three of them, Peter, James, and John, up onto the mountain. Luke tells us, As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Matthew's parallel account says that Jesus was transfigured before them. Literally, the Greek there says he underwent a metamorphosis, right? His appearance changed. The question is, why? What was the purpose of this? Well, the first purpose for giving them a glimpse of his glory was to affirm his identity. If you were to have walked with Jesus up the mountain, you would have thought, this guy's like everybody else. Man, he's huffing and puffing just like we are. I mean, Jesus didn't play Superman and fly up there. He walked up there. Anybody that saw him would have thought, well, this is just a regular dude like us. Well, anybody who thought that was half right. What does Scripture say? In Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form. In other words, even though Jesus, yes, is absolutely true man, that's not all he is. He's also true God, has all the glory of God. It's just that ever since the time of his conception, he covered up that glory. He put it under wraps. At the Mount of Transfiguration, he gives everybody a peek at his glory. He kind of lifts the veil to allow his disciples to see his godliness, his holiness, his divinity, to affirm his nature as true God. But it wasn't just the blinding light that affirmed that, so did the voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Who could that be except God the Father? Affirming, this Jesus of Nazareth is my Son. He's a Son of God. Just as he had done at Jesus' baptism, he affirms Jesus' identity. So why is that so important? I mean, why did the disciples need to see Jesus' glory? To answer that, we need to look at the second reason that Jesus gave them a glimpse of his glory. It was to prepare them and us for what the future holds. Really, we got to go back to something we skipped over, the idea that along with Jesus were two men. Luke names of as Matthew, or rather Moses and Elijah. There's two prominent prophets of the Old Testament. And these two men were having a conversation with Jesus. And what were they talking about? Luke says, they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. That's a reference not just to Jesus' death, but to his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. These men knew about that. They knew that this was coming because this was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. But what those two prophets knew very clearly, the disciples weren't quite so clear on that. Weren't quite so sure what Jesus was still going to do. I mean, was he coming to bring the glory back to Israel? Was he going to throw off the Roman government? Was he going to put them on his right and on his left? What they totally didn't expect was that Jesus would be treated like a common criminal, be beaten and whipped and left to die on a cross. That event would have shook their faith to the core, which is why Jesus, ahead of time, brings them to the mountain. In a sense, he wants to front load some information into their brain that they can draw on when things look really bad for Jesus. When Jesus doesn't look like the glorious Son of God anymore on the cross, they will be able to remember, wait a minute, we saw his glory. We heard the voice. This isn't just wishful thinking on our part. This is just our hopes and dreams. We were eyewitnesses. Isn't that what St. Peter says in his first epistle? We do not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We ourselves heard the voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. You realize those words apply to us. I mean, yeah, even though we weren't there on the mountain, we still get to see Jesus' glory right here in the pages of God's holy and inspired word. And what we see about Jesus here in the word helps prepare us for our future in two ways. First of all, Jesus' transfiguration teaches us that even though Jesus is God all glorious, he didn't always look like it. For much of his life, he had that glory under wraps. He hid his glory. You realize the same thing is true for you and me. I mean, the fact is, God has made us his children. We are heirs of eternal life. In God's eyes, we are holy and righteous. But in the eyes of the world, that's not what we look like. And there are plenty of times where that's not what we feel like. There are times when we feel beaten down. There's times when we feel persecuted. Well, just like Jesus. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. As people who wear Jesus' name, Christian, we shouldn't be surprised if we sometimes find ourselves in the same trials and persecution that he faced. Isn't that what Scripture says? Peter writes, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." When his glory is revealed, that really brings us to the second way that Christ's transfiguration prepares us for our future. On the mountain, Jesus revealed his glory, but he also revealed your glory. Because your glory is connected, it's found in his glory. St. Paul puts it this way: when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul's talking about the glory that will be ours on the last day. The glory that will be ours by faith in Jesus, the glory that already belongs to those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. The glory that guarantees that our bodies that are riddled with sin and are gradually wearing out are one day going to be glorified, just like Jesus' body was. Paul says, Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. My friends, that's the glory that we will fully enjoy on the last day. It's a glory that we get a little taste of in a worship service where we're singing God's praises. It's a glory that we get a little taste of here when we take his body and blood to assure us that we are his children, even when we don't feel like it. It's the glory that ultimately puts all of our trials and tribulations in life into perspective. Scripture says, Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Christ's glory will be our glory. You and I didn't see Jesus' glory on the mountain, but that's okay, because one day we will. We will see his glory with our own eyes as we gather with him and all those who have gone before in the glory of heaven. God, keep us in his grace until that glorious day. Amen.